The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston of KILR in Estherville and Seth Boies with the Dickinson County News. Ed, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, due to the ongoing trade war with China and the 31 waivers granted by the EPA exempting refineries from using corn-based ethanol, do you think President Trump is in danger of losing his support among farmers?
I haven't heard it at any of my town meetings. I've seen polls that show that the farmers are supporting Trump. I saw a kind of in-depth interviews by the Wall Street Journal among farmers at the state fair that backed that up. I think that I'd be wrong if I didn't say that there's some concern among farmers. On the other hand, farmers know that China cheats as a member of the World Trade Organization. They don't live by the laws of international trade, and farmers think that China needs to be brought to account, and this is the first president to do it, and they appreciate the president backing them up in ways that other presidents haven't when presidents have taken action that hurt farmers. And I always think of Nixon freezing beef prices, Ford embargoing soybeans, Carter embargoing all grain to Russia because Russia invaded Afghanistan, and they didn't care at all about helping the farmers, and the farmers were hurt as a result of government decision-making, and consequently, I see them standing by. I think they're very concerned about the ethanol waivers, only from this standpoint, that when RFS announces 15 billion gallons, the oil companies ought to be forced to mix 15 billion gallons. When waivers are granted and it ends up being around 14 billion gallons, then the farmers are being cheated. And that's what they don't like it. It isn't so much the waivers. It's a government not keeping its promise on 15 billion gallons. Seth.
In that same line, still going with the waivers, is there a particular action that you feel that Congress can and should be taking in response to the waivers at this point?
If there was some action we could be successful at accomplishing, I'd be first in line to introduce it and argue for it. But here's the situation, I believe, that is quite a gamble to bring it up in the Congress. You got to remember, we've had ethanol for almost 40 years. I think in the late 70s we started. And we've always had environmental and agricultural support and business support for it. But late years, we've had changes made in the Congress. Probably 95% of the members are new. And for Republicans, there's a new batch of Republicans that feel that when the government mandates the use of ethanol, the government's interfering in the marketplace. And for ideological purposes, they don't like that. And then on the other hand, we had the support of environmentalists until recent years. And now the environmentalists are against ethanol, and so consequently, I think we might lose the whole RFS. So I'm committed to doing what we've tried to do, to use the courts, to use speeches on the floor of the United States Senate, meetings with EPA people, meetings in the Oval Office on these issues to try to get the government to keep its word that if we're going to announce 15 billion gallons, 15 billion gallons has to be used. Ed.
Senator, Estherville is supposed to be in line for a federal government manufacturing project, and people involved in that project have been working with your office. Do you have an update on where that stands?
What's the project?
It's supposed to be a federal government manufacturing project, a project of high-tech, like computer parts that's currently, the U.S. receives from China that the U.S. government expressed a desire to bring those back to the U.S. for to be manufactured?
Well, those discussions are still going on. The only thing I would say publicly that if there's if people are asking me to put in for one contractor over another, that would be violating laws and congressional ethics. Beyond that, I have nothing to say. Seth?
Yeah, on to the other probably major issue there in Congress. As far as gun reform, background checks, red flags, or any other solution, what's kind of your temperature there in the Senate as to what may or may not pass and what path you'd like to pursue?
Boy, I'd have to have conversations with a lot of senators to answer your question, but I could make a judgment that it'll depend entirely upon talks that are going on between Blumenthal and Graham for Republican Democrats in the Senate. What can they agree on? And then what can will the White House sign it? So there's those two are negotiating with the White House. And if they can come up with an agreement on background checks, I think there's probably a good chance it could pass. Other proposals, I think, have a lesser chance of passing.
Senator, there have been a number of reports lately that the U.S. economy may be headed for a recession. How concerned are you about that, and would you favor some type of a tax cut to try to head off a recession?
If the tax cuts deal with the payroll tax, I would not favor that, considering the reports we get every spring about the death knell of Medicare and the cutback of Social Security. Now, those things won't happen for another 8 years in the case of Medicare, and they won't happen for another 15 years in the case of Social Security. But I don't think we should do anything to make the viability of Medicare and Medicaid less certain. Now, other tax cuts I haven't heard anything about. I'd be willing to look at them. But getting back to the basis of your question, a recession on the horizon, I think that a lot of people in this country and maybe around the world are trying to talk us into a recession, and I don't think we're close to a recession. And I think the more talk about it, the more chance we're going to have a recession.
Yeah, recently here in Northwest Iowa, we had presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar, and she had mentioned that she'd been working with you on language for legislation on prescription drug prices and things of that nature. So she highlighted it as bipartisan. I just want to see if you agree and maybe speak a little bit about the bipartisan work that's being done there. I know that's one of your big issues.
I think a couple bills. One, we got out of committee, which would change the process within the FDA where any one individual or individuals generally are set up by some interest in the pharmaceutical industry to keep generics off the market. And obviously pharmaceutical companies want to keep generics off the market because if you don't have generic competition, you can keep the price of the patent price on for a few more years. Another bill is called to do away with what we call pay for delay, which is another scheme by pharmaceutical companies to pay a generic company X number of dollars to keep their drug off the market for X number of years to keep the price high. And I have a very close working relationship with Klobuchar on those issues, and I think we'll be successful on some of them yet before the end of this year.
Senator, the Pentagon announced on Monday that it tested a ground-launched cruise missile. And are you concerned that that might stoke tensions with Russia or maybe spark a new arms race?
That's exactly what Russia said on news of the announcement of the launch, that the United States was fomenting an arms race. It isn't any different than Russia, for years, even before before we pulled out of the treaty, and the treaty ended, they were doing exactly the same thing, only they were doing it while the agreement was still in place. We had We announced that we were going to pull out of the agreement, and then we did it. We didn't violate any agreement.
Oh, thank you. Similarly, going back to pharmaceuticals, I saw you had called for more information on, I believe it was a gene therapy treatment, and I'm just looking to see what you're hoping might be revealed and what the next step might be legislatively after you get that information.
I don't know that there will be anything legislatively necessary. Maybe I'll change my mind after we get the report. I'm not anticipating legislation. I'm anticipating the Food and Drug Administration following its law that requires two things. One, safety of the process, and efficacy. In other words, is it going to do what it says it's going to do? That's the two goals of the FDA on putting things on the market, and I want to make sure that process is followed. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Ed and Seth, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.